When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to What Women Want with Amy Annette.
It's me, Amy Annette, and this is, of course, What Women Want with another episode from the archives, which is a lovely way of putting... I forgot to release it at the time. I was so excited to have Kate Berland, excuse me, and Rose Matafeo, hello, as my guests in Edinburgh back in the past. They are truly some of the most powerful, brilliant women, and at the time, destined to be megastars, and now truly megastars. Maybe I'm not great at getting pods out on time, but I'm very good at spotting star power. We recorded this in the underbelly. It was the Edinburgh Fringe, and we were in front of a live audience, which included someone with a persistent cough, which I promise you I have edited out as much as is possible. Peace and love to coughs and those who have them, but please stay away from podcast recordings. Again, you may notice this is a slightly shorter episode than usual. That is because it's sort of a one-man band situation here, and I didn't set up all of the podcast mics properly, okay? Listen. You don't get this sort of insight on Joe Rogan, but you certainly get high quality. So what Joe Rogan gives in sound qual, I'm bringing you in brain qual. And I stand by that. We are talking about what women want is to apologize. So join me as we travel back in time to listen to Kate Berland and Rose Matafeo discuss what women want is to apologize.
How are you doing, guys? Nice to see you.
Really well.
Awesome. This show is called What Women Want, and so the idea is that we talk about misconceptions, misadventures, and misunderstandings around what women want. And comedians are the best people to ask about this, because as comedians, you are both very observed, but you are also observed professionally. And also, they're my friends, and find it hard to say no to me. So that's all I need. I have had so many conversations that changed the course of your life, and I think they're so important, and you very rarely see them from the perspective of a women's point of view on TV, in films, on stage. And so I felt like it was time to platform those conversations. And so what better platform than this 2 centimeter high stage here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So the topic today, weirdest drum solo ever. So the topic today is apology. I want to talk about what women want is to just maybe, I wonder, possibly, could we apologize? Maybe? We understand this trope of women apologizing, over-apologizing. And I wonder how many times women apologize if they're doing that because they're actually sorry. Right? And I'm not talking about it in the kind of like, bitch is gonna lie kind of way. I'm not saying that. But I mean, it becomes like part of your armory, part of your sort of bag of tricks that you'd use as you go around the world. I think I apologize a lot to sort of settle the room. Like if I've arrived even on time, I'll have to find something else to apologize for. I feel like I enter the room and I just want to say something that's sort of settle, you know, the controlling, the emotional sort of control that you feel like maybe is your responsibility for some reason when you enter those spaces, I think can be quite intrinsically female. Though I'm willing to think about it in other ways, I do think a lot of the times when I apologize, I'm using it for different things. I'm kind of prompt someone into apologizing to me. Quite a lot of feminism now, sort of corporate feminism, is a lot about never apologize, never explain. I read this thing recently where they suggest instead of saying sorry, you say thank you. So if you're late, you say thank you for waiting. I love the idea of it. It feels so psychopathic when you do it. Thank you for waiting. But I like this idea of trying to train yourself out of saying sorry. I do like it, but I do wonder how much of that is blaming women again for not being confident enough. And then finally, I was just thinking about how British it is to apologise and how much that is about British people's secret dialect of apologising, and how, you know, if you're on the London Tube and someone says, excuse me, they are not saying excuse me. They are saying, what the fuck are you doing? Like, they are so angry with you when they say excuse me. And so we have this dialect in our country of apologising. It means so many different things. What does it look like from a female perspective to try and understand where you sit within that? So those are the many things I was thinking about. And I'd love to know what you guys thought about when you heard about the topic. Here we go. And one thing you should know, I really love an audience that's quick to clap. So if you see me, let's go together. Rose, maybe?
When I heard this is what we were talking about, I definitely thought about it in the context of being here at the Fringe, because I'm a narcissist, and I made it about me. I say sorry a lot. I remember it was a tic that I used to have, and I think a lot of children go through it. I don't know if anyone like else. I'm constantly saying sorry. My mother getting very annoyed at me for saying sorry. I'm a very apologetic person by nature, but especially when it comes to performing, I often and you guys, I've talked to you guys about this after. I mean, I did have a bad show yesterday, and it was not a terrible show. My first instinct when it's someone I know who has been there, if I see them, I apologize profusely for disappointing them, myself, and my family, right? And it's a horrible thing, because I think as a performer, especially in stand-up, when you're like, you are kind of only get better by being a little bit hard on yourself and trying to improve in that way. It's a really horrible kind of thing where you're kind of your own cheerleader, and you're also your worst critic. And so I'm really hard on myself after performing, which means I say sorry so much. And I have been in the position, you know, a lot of times where I have seen shows. It sounds bitchy, but I've seen shows where I think a performer should apologize to me for how bad their show was. And I found it really interesting there. And I actually read into this because, you know, I'll say for 10 minutes before this show, because you said maybe do some research. And I went, okay. it was an interesting thing of like, why do women maybe say sorry? There's a stereotype that women say sorry more than men. And it was that they did the study where it was like, it wasn't that men ultimately apologize less because it's seen as a sign of weakness or anything, but they see less situations in which they should be saying sorry. So it's actually a confidence thing where they say sorry when they think they should say sorry, but for women, there are so many more instances where they feel like an apology is necessary. Mm. And so that kind of blows my mind, because that means it's a confidence thing when it comes to apologizing. And that's what I feel like, especially with performing, I am so innately jealous. And it's the same thing of that, you know, what is that classic kind of meme thing of like having the confidence of, you know,
a white man.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that very much applies in the comedy industry sometimes, right? But it's true, and it's like, it's such a powerful thing that I think if I feel like I wish I could let that go, to have the confidence to do something, because I feel like sometimes, yeah, I feel like I just do not have the confidence to go, oh, I'm allowed to fail, and that's okay, because that's just part of the job. I just feel like, and I think especially maybe particularly for women or anyone in minorities, because you are a minority in an industry, a wider industry, which is populated mainly with, you know, even straight white men, I suppose. I don't know why I said it like that. But because you're often representing a very small group, the pressure on you to not fail it's bullshit as well that you feel like that, because you shouldn't, because there should be more of everyone doing comedy. But it's that pressure that makes you feel like you should be saying sorry for not, like, for letting down the team in a way. And it's like, and I feel like that really compels me to say sorry and apologize and be really fucking annoying in that sense of like, I think I should just have less instances where I feel like it's appropriate. And also, very briefly, actually, when I thought about this, I obviously my mind went to Love Island. because one thing I watched, did anyone watch Love Island, the series? Yeah, okay,
yeah,
one
yes,
knock, right?
Yes.
It's fantastic. But do you notice how, and this goes back to men finding less situations in which they should apologize, every time you'd hear an apology on Love Island, it was, I'm sorry that you're upset. And it was like, it was always, I'm sorry you're upset. I'm sorry if I upset you. And it was this thing of like, it wasn't even like a fucking gaslight. It was just the fundamental thing of someone not understanding that they should be apologizing for something. And so, yeah. So in conclusion, I think, Love Island is a bad show. We should watch it, right?
Right.
Yeah,
no, that's thank it. You.
That's it. Yeah.
Kate, how are you?
Very well. Thank you.
What did you think when you heard the topic?
Yeah, I'm loving all of this. Well, the first thing, to answer that question, the first thing I thought, which is a hyper, like, white thing, is me trying to apologize less when I send something back at a restaurant. Or, like, I never do that. I really never do. But I find that, like, if something... I'm starting with the most repulsive answer to this question. I want to be clear. I'm starting with the most unappealing answer, which is, like, you get something at a restaurant... And it's wrong. It's bad. It tastes bad. It's possibly a health code violation. You didn't order it. It's wrong. So the old me would just buckle up and eat it. And tip 20%. Tip more. Because it was so bad. And the new me says, hi, I'm so sorry. Is there any, but I truly fall over my, if I get the courage to do it,
yeah.
I do such a tap dance the whole time. I was eating alone, in San Francisco recently at this like very fancy place, and I got a coffee and you guys, it was water. I mean, it was essentially iced tea and I couldn't believe it. I was horrified. You know, it's like a $5 USD American coffee. And I was like, I'm going to say something, like, this is obscene. I was so nervous that I wrote down what I was going to say. I started to script it out.
Oh my God.
That's the level of anxiety I'm dealing with. So, and then as I was scripting it out, and at that moment, the server came over to me and I was like, sorry, okay, wow. So first of all, hi. Like, I just completely unraveled, finally got to it. I was like, and I lied about having been there before. I was like, I was here a couple days ago. Coffee was great. So it might be a bad batch. Like, I just, like, being crazy. And of course they were like, oh yeah, sorry. No, I'll get you another one. And I was like, thank you. Sorry. And so all of that labor that I did, you know, and ultimately it's fine. So again, that's the most gross kind of thing, but that is the first thing that popped into my mind. But I love everything else that's being said, and yeah, I think that's really interesting of like who says sorry and what saying sorry does to the person. And like, I think it's, there's kind of this like disease, right, of like white, like cishet people being like, I'm so sorry for everything that my race has done to you. Anyway, you know, so it's like, yeah, and that's a way of yeah, that's like an armor against like shame, or being like, I'm not one of the bad ones. Like, I'm a good one. Like, I can acknowledge like the history of violence and like, oh, anyway, you know, so it's like, okay, yeah. What are you doing instead? Like, what actually, like, what are the words allowing you to get away with? Like, what is that apology then? I'm making you feel like you're able to deflect like harder work or just like any work.
Mm.
So that's interesting. And I think that obviously the person that sometimes is saying sorry, like, they're not, like, yeah, like, we have, it's, like, empathetic, like, yeah, sure, like, I get, you know, it's, like, you're not a piece of shit for feeling like you want to say sorry, but, like, what are you actually doing, or how are you actually listening to the person? Are you just more concerned with your own feelings and your own, like, your, you know, desire to, like, escape shame? Yeah, so, I'm very smart. Because I saw some people wondering, so, with the whole sending back food thing, I just wanted to be clear. And, yeah, and I think apology has become, like, feminized or is, like, inherently feminized in a lot of ways. And, yeah, and it's, like, also a way, like, saying I'm sorry is also a very powerful thing in the right moments.
Yeah.
And I think, like, yeah, teaching, like, boys to say sorry. Yeah. And, and letting that become... Like, you know, in relationships or in, you know, between people, saying I'm sorry, that can be like a very productive, like radical act when it actually needs to be said and is done with generosity. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I feel like we kind of covered why we apologize and how we feel apologizing works in our life. But I wanted to know, I think as a performer, someone who goes on stage, like the magnifying glass of that, that when you come on stage, people see you often for their preconceived notions of what you should be like, and you sometimes work against that or you work with that. I wanted to know if you feel like there's a difference between who you are on stage. So I would imagine when you perform, you're unapologetic. And who you are off stage, do you feel like there's a noticeable difference? Rose?
Yes. Absolutely. When I first started out, though, I think it was very apologetic on stage, to be fair, because it's that thing of, and it's interesting what you say, even in the public transport thing, in ways of like saying sorry in such a subtle way with what you do is like in almost being sorry about the space you're taking up. And that's not even like explicitly saying sorry, like not going on stage and going, sorry, I'm here, guys. But it's the vibe, and it's like, it's what you put out there. I remember being very, and obviously this is a thing very much covered off a lot at the moment about, you know, obviously self-deprecation in comedy. All of the net is about that as well.
How and old that's, are you, you know, when you started as well?
I was like 15, so I was 15, 16. So obviously, like, I should be sorry to be on stage because who the fuck wants to watch that? Like, 16-year-olds should not do comedy. It is bad, guys. Very bad. I had no live experience to base any of my jokes off. But it was that thing of, like, when I first started, because I was in that position, that's how I came into it, immediately I was sorry because I was on the back foot, because also, as a teenage girl, you don't have the, I guess you've got enough confidence to do it, but you're still not confident to be there, and I don't know, it's a tough thing. I've always found, as well, for me, what I find, I don't necessarily find, watching comedy, I don't know if I find confidence funny. I feel like I find things that are funny are people seeing their own flaws and then connecting with other people about those things. And that's, I think, what I guess mostly what I do. But that really kind of, it does fuck you up in a way, because you're constantly making yourself look like a dumbass for other people's benefit. So you can go, well, we're all dumbasses, but then you're the one on stage talking about it. So it's, you know, you're kind of in the worst position in that regard.
But that's it. So I work in an office, and understanding that how often you feel like you sort of throw yourself on the ground to make the point, that you're so keen to make the point that you just make yourself look like a fool to just make sure that got out there. So I think that makes sense on stage, especially. And Kate, I want to hear what you feel like is the difference between you on stage and you off stage. But on top of that, I want to know, like, do you feel like when you come on stage, there's an unspoken thing that you're working against that you then have to sort of play with?
Yeah. I think being so gorgeous is, no. I think, people sometimes talk about my stand-up as a character, which I totally understand what they're saying, but I don't personally relate to that. I think it's like, persona, like this kind of antiquated idea of comedy is like, you know, you get on stage and it's you, or it's like everyone's performing, right? You're constantly like, you are inherently a persona if you're performing. So, and I think, yeah, I mean, I also started, I was 17 when I started doing stand-up, and I, in LA, and I was going to comedy clubs, and it was all just, like, older white men, like, my wife's a bitch, or whatever, you know, and so I definitely, I knew that no one wanted me there, or, like, and by the way, it's, like, yeah, and at that point, comedy has changed, like, so radically, and I can only speak, really, to my, like, specific experience, like, in New York and LA, but there are just overwhelmingly more women, younger women, non-white people, queer people. Like, it's wild in, like, 10 years, just, like, in, or the last 5 years, how much has changed. But when I was there, I was, like, the youngest one, the only, like, girl, and I knew that I had to, like, trick them into listening to me or something, because the assumption was, like, you're not funny, and why are you here? And so I kind of feel like I did create an overconfident kind of character-ish, like, persona, who was, like, very confident about what she was saying, but also maybe, like, it didn't fully make sense or something. So I think that I have a lot of anger and hostility toward the need for women to be likable, or I know that I do. I think I'm mad, you know? So I kind of feel like there's a lot to be done with. There's a lot to, like, undo with that, and it's obviously different for all kinds of different embodied experiences. So for me to be like, I don't want to be likable, is like easier than it is for someone else. But I think particularly with, like, a lot of, like, queer performance or feminist performance, there's just, like, a really rich history of, like, completely rejecting that need to be, like, palatable and likable and easily consumable, because traditionally what's easily consumable is, like, one kind of person. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking boring.
Yeah. Do you think it's harder to be a woman performing and being, like, double downing, or, like, I'm not gonna be likable, than it is to, because I've seen many, many guys go up once. You see so many going, I'm gonna fucking tell you what I think, I don't give a shit
about
what.
Being offensive. Yeah. But ultimately you're not really being offensive, you're just, like, reinscribing the status quo. So it's like,
I think it's interesting, because likable is that word that we all understand, and it's often the thing that people talk about with feminism, which is that, you know, angry feminists, sort of furious feminists, ugly feminists, like, the thing, the power that that word, that phrase has for feminists is, like, you're not attractive. Like, that's their biggest arrow that they can shoot at you.
I think it's an unspoken expectation also, though, that's put on, especially women doing comedy, of what their goals are, of what they want their comedy to achieve, because so much, as well, in critical culture in terms of comedy, what women are described when they're good as, I mean, you know, this sounds really, but like, as often likable or relatable or real. It's, she's my new best friend. I always fucking get that. Yeah. I don't know you, but you're my new best friend. You know what I mean? Like, and it's this weird thing of, like, I just see the value put on a woman when she's performing as being someone who will be pleasant to. Would be pleasant to be around,
or
be in the company with for an hour, not for what she's saying, or I don't know.
That's the highest compliment.
The highest compliment is how nice a fucking lady you are. You know what I mean? Like,
there's a thing that you see a lot in critics and reviews, which is women often called unashamedly funny.
Oh.
And it's like, where's your shame, lady? Get some more shame on you. It's so weird. Sadly, we're coming towards the end of the show. As always, I feel like we could keep going. I hope you feel like this is the beginning of a conversation, and I want to hear you chattering away as you leave, but do be aware I will be at the back, so no negative comments, please. Did you know What Women Want is a film with Mel Gibson? Maybe when someone said, are we going to go see the show What Women Want? And you were like, the film with Mel Gibson? I'd like to know is, what classic film would you reboot with a gender reversal? You can be in it, you can be a bit part. You just let me know your vision. So, guys, what would you say? What would be your answer? Let's go this way. Okay.
I feel like I want to be Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
Don't steal my idea.
That'd be sick. I want to see Castaway, but from the perspective of Helen Hunt, who has just had a wonderful year of self development. and she's learned how to do she's done a kombucha course, and she's just, you know, really got to know herself. And then fucking, you know, Tom Hanks shows up. What is it at the end?
Does he come back in the end?
Yeah, with the FedEx or something. Didn't he send her some shit in the FedEx? She gets, and she's like, oh yeah, that guy. And so I'd like to see that movie, which I think would be really rocking.
Oh, Helen Hunt really is the common theme.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Hollywood still threw her in the trash.
Right.
Because she aged.
Yeah.
Shame.
Justice for Helen Hunt. That's what this show is about. On that, please join me in clapping with me and cheering your amazing guests. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Goodbye.
This is the end. My only... I feel like if I sing anymore, I'll have to pay for it. Yes, this is the end. You've come to the end. A little earlier than usual, but wow, what good stuff. Imagine if I hadn't let you hear that. You're welcome. It is the end of the show. Thank you so much for still listening. If you are still listening, I will now do some very chic and quick credits. All credit to the amazing Emma Porsche, Zachary Annette, who helped me record it at the time. Shook his head when I did everything wrong, but supported me nonetheless, and for whom I give the credit, executive producer, whatever that means. Artisans via Jamendo Publishing are the creators of the very jolly tune. I've been Amy Annette. I really hope you're okay. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.